Right, today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Now, if you believe that, let's give Jesus a hand clap. Amen, amen. Now, throughout the world, of course, today, the Christian church is celebrating the resurrection of Jesus in various ways. Of course, we refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, and we thought it would be a good time to deal with, if you will, that topic. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you know, although I always tell people, you know, that we need to realize, like Paul said, that we shouldn't be people who spend time focusing on particular days and times of the year and things like that, because we have to understand that Christ is always alive, and it's always something we should be excited about. But this gives us one more opportunity to focus, if you will, on the actual central theme of us as Christians. We'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verse 12 through 19. So let's begin at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want to start today just kind of talking about my thesis, where hopefully we will get, when we get through the end of this, is that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Christians are wasting their time and effort on a faith that has no purpose. Once again, I'll say it again. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Christians are wasting their time and effort on a faith that has no purpose. Now, what we need to recognize, I think, as believers, is to come to understand this is what makes our faith cornerstone and different from everything else that's out there. People will say many times, in order at least one, at one point when they used to not want to offend us, but to try to at least keep us under the big tent, they called it, they would at least acknowledge Jesus and say, you know, well, Christians have their faith and this group has their faith and that group has their faith. And you know, and just put us all under the big tent. You know, you would see bumper stickers that would have crosses and other different symbols and all that meaning, hey, let's all just kind of get along. If we could all just get along, then we would all understand. There was an article recently written, I can't remember which paper it was, a New York Times or one of those, Washington Post, something, where the person proposed that finally it was time to kill God. They basically said, you know, that the God of the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims is, if you go through the books that they have, this God, if he were a human, would be dragged before the Hague by now. You know, everybody's talking about everything that Putin did and all that, and if you look at everything this God did in the Old Testament to the Egyptians and all these different people and how terrible a God he was, they would have dragged him into the before the criminal court. It's time to get rid of that God and kill him. So I told him, I said, well, y'all already did that. What, y'all don't remember? You already did that. That's our story. Our story is that when he became a man, he's not the God in terms of the side of the God you saw from heaven, the one that judges you based on the law. And the one that finally says your time done run out, and when he comes in, everybody die. The women, the children, everybody dies. But then when he became a man, the Bible says he made it clear to us just how he was about things, that he humbled himself to the point to where he was obedient unto death. That even though what? When Pilate asked him, Don't you know that I could crucify you or let you go? Jesus looked at him and said, you wouldn't have any power over me unless you got it from above. See, only Jesus, think about that. How many of us, knowing that we could call legions of angels to rescue us, would in the face of about to be crucified have somebody tell you, don't you understand I have control over you? And he look him in the face and say, you wouldn't have any control over me except God gave it to you. See, when you have this final understanding of God, you then can walk in authority no matter what you see going on. You don't worry about it. You do what the Bible says, and whatever's going on, you finally understand there comes a point where God is in charge. You can push back, kick, run, scream, whatever you want. There's certain things that are going to happen down here no matter what we do, because God has an agenda he working on. See, a lot of the stuff we see happening in this country and people are like, I don't understand it. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, haters of God. They will not respect anything that's got to do with God. So why are we surprised? God already said that's what's going to happen. So if we try to, you can push back on, in other words, you can make sure you respect God. Make sure you do what's right. But you're never going to make anybody else do when God has already said. In one place, God said, pray for people. He says, be meek, instructing those who oppose themselves. In other words, these people are on their way to hell. And God is not moved by your newspaper articles. God's not moved by what you're saying. God ain't moved by your protests, your revolts, your rebellions. God's not moved by any of that. God sits on a throne, and he is controlling all of this with the understanding that there is coming a time that everything's going to just close up. Now, let's talk about what has happened. You know, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking, he spends a long time talking about the resurrection of the dead. He tries to get everybody to understand, these Christians. He says, I need y'all to understand why your faith is different. He says, think about this. And the more we understand it, the more confidence we should get or walk away. He says, how can there be any among you that say, cry, there is no resurrection? He said, if that's the case, then it means then that Christ did not rise from the dead. Well, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then that means there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, then that means we are still in our sins. So who wants to follow a good man? Look, I think I'm pretty good. I can make my own mind up and live the rest of my life out and die. Why would I follow Jesus? Just because he's got some good advice? Well, so did Mahatma Gandhi, and so did Martin Luther King, and so did a bunch of other men. Jesus, on the other hand, the Bible tells us that Jesus was born of a virgin, was the Son of God, lived out his life, and then was presented with an alternative. Live your life just you, or be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so you can deliver a bunch of people that don't even like you. Matter of fact, they sinners right now. And the Bible says that when we were yet sinners, God, Christ died for us. So he died not so that what? We could have another religion. That there could be three choices, or however many choices. God won't give his groups a choice too. You can choose Jesus. Y'all can choose this one. You can choose this one. No. God says you got to understand something. God's in heaven. He said, look, the wages of sin is death. He said, now I'm tired. Y'all don't understand. I done washed this earth up once. I done drowned everybody in it once. I done destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I done everything I can to send you the message that sin ends with death. Now I'm going to give you a chance, and I'm going to send my son, who then will have an opportunity to what? Minister to you, show you my grace in person. I want you to see who I really am. I'm humble and I'm meek. Even though I could call angels and kill every one of you, I don't. I let you spit on me. I let you pull my beard out. I let you crucify me. But there's now coming a time where I will be back. Now is the time of grace. Now is the acceptable time to say, you know what? Whoa, wait a minute, God. That doesn't even make any sense that he would be obedient unto death. What happened? God says that the reason you can know that you've been forgiven of your sins is because he raised Jesus from the dead. The wages of sin is death. Jesus rose from the dead. Why? Because there was no sin in him. He was totally perfect, totally obedient to the Father. And when it was over, God raised him from the dead to justify not him, but us and all those who believe in him. So now it's no longer about living out a perfect life and doing everything that's right. It's about believing in what God said, the righteousness of faith, putting my faith and confidence in Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead for that reason. God had to raise him up so that he could justify us, but he first had to die. Now, I want you to think about this. If Jesus is alive, why would I talk to anybody else about anything? I do not understand Christians. Well, Pastor, you know, we got to get a little more inclusive. Some is absolutely off with people. God is saying, please let me make y'all understand. Now, you don't have to believe this. See, the point is you could choose another faith. Just say, forget it. I don't believe none of that stuff them Christians are talking about. But if we're Christians, we have to understand we just don't have no room. There's nowhere to negotiate. God says the wages of sin is death. All right, now watch this. And he says, Paul says the judgment of God about these things is right. Now, you know how we always say, y'all can't be judging people. Don't be judging. And that's true. We shouldn't be. God said, look. But he said, look, God's judgment is right. Now, watch this, because it's a real big tent. Now, I didn't give them these scriptures, but I'm just going to read them to you. This is what God said in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, this is what God said. He said, because when they knew God, this is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All you got to do is go look out there in the world now. Everybody got their imagination of what God is and how he is. And well, if I wouldn't serve a God like that, you know what? You don't get to choose God. You don't get to decide who God is. You can't make up God in your imagination and he become God. He might be, that might be what you believe in, but God is God. God has declared who he is. He is who he is. He says then that what? So they profess themselves to be wise. They become fools. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image that looks more like them. So now you got Hercules and Zeus and Jupiter, and some people got a donkey or a cow. And he says, what is wrong with you people? Down there worshiping birds and beasts and creeping things. What is wrong with y'all? Why would you think a duck could have made you, or a goat or a cow or a Zeus or somebody with wings on his feet? Where y'all get that from? Out your imagination. So when thunder comes down, you think of Thor. Thor? You think there's some guy up here throwing lightning bolts? Y'all really believe that there's some person you can throw somebody in a volcano in some kind of way? I'm gonna make it rain? Where did y'all get that stuff from? Out of your imagination. He says, why? Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they became vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise. We know what's going on. God said they became fools. And all of a sudden did all kind of stuff. Then he said this will come next. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what come next. You know, once the devil can get your mind out there, he'll take your body. He'll have you doing all kind of stupid stuff with y'all bodies. Y'all out there doing this and that. You know that don't fit. And you know that ain't right. But you're doing it anyway. Talking about can't nobody tell you nothing. Because what? You wise and you do what you want to do. You your own person, you say. Lord, help us, Jesus. God says, look, the Bible says they changed the truth of God into a lie and started worshiping the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. He said, for this cause, God gave them over to vile affections. God calls it vile. God the one called it vile, not me. God says it's vile. He says women change the use of the woman, men with men. God said, y'all got all kind of stuff going on. He said, but you know what? Keep on, do what you do, whatever, because that ain't all my problem, God says. He said this. He and he goes and says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, we all on the list. This is what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. We all on the list now. And you might say, I ain't on that list. Let's see. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Now, don't none of y'all look out there like y'all ever committed fornication. I'm sure none of you never have. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. I'm sure ain't nobody ever envied anybody. Now, you probably didn't murder nobody, but God, Jesus said if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. Just saying. I got a list. I've had to, you know, some of them places tell you, write down a list of everybody you hate. Well, mine turned into like a book almost. I had to like really redo that. I was like, I can't, this ain't working, Lord. I mean, so, you know, they tell you, write down who it is, tear it up and pray on it and dance. You know, people got all these different things to tell you to do. And mine was like a book. I couldn't even tear it. Names all these people, I can't stand them. I said, but I don't know if I hate them, Lord. I just can't stand them. When I see them, like, you on this list? You on this list? Whisperers. Y'all know what that is, right? Look at her. Look at her. I don't know why she got that on. That don't even make no sense. Whisperers. He says, backbiters. Now, y'all, I'm sure ain't nobody, you know, right? Haters of God. Well, that ain't us. We ain't like that, right? Despiteful. Proud. No, I ain't. Boasters. Oh, I am sure don't none of us boast. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. I'm sure everybody in here did everything their mom and daddy said when they told them to do it. Everybody. Every one of us. It's funny how once we become parents, we can recognize they ain't doing what we're telling them, right? But then we go back, if we think about what we didn't do, we like, we got a reason. We could come up with a reason why we might not have done it. But the reality is, everybody's been in this group without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. You know what unmerciful is? That's the people who don't have mercy on nobody. As far as they're concerned, everybody just need a job. That's why ain't nobody got, that's why they ain't got nothing. Now, there's some people who really can't work. You got to have mercy on somebody now. God said, don't be unmerciful. And then this is what God says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, see, most of the people want to carve out the sexual piece. But that's not the list. That's just part of what God said be happening in a society like that, in the world. That's part of what happens when people give up God's image. But all the rest of this stuff is in there too. So the disobedient to parents, that's why we pray, God, watch over these children until they can find you. Why? Because at some point, they're going to be disobedient. And instead of God, what? Judging them. And they die because God says that you're worthy of death. See, that's why they say they should take God to the Hague. Yeah, he should go to criminal court. Who should say that a person who disobeys their parents should die? God. Because God says that, look, I'm about strict obedience. Y'all need to understand how this universe works. Most people don't get it. The universe works like this. I'm God. I run everything. And everything I run is perfect. And people do exactly what I tell them when I tell them. And if they don't, like Satan found out, they get cast out. But since you all didn't have real knowledge of me, Adam and Eve, y'all down there, the devil tricked you. But he didn't know I had a plan. All of this stuff deserves death. But he says, guess what? I don't do that. He says, I showed you who I am. Matter of fact, I came like one of y'all. Born, and then I said, look, instead of getting born in the castle, I was born in a manger. And not the kind y'all have for Christmas. The little cute one, you know, with all the little angels and everybody decorating, everybody out there. No, this is a smelly manger, one where the animals are using the bathroom and stuff like that. It's stinking. It's nasty. It would probably be slummish in a way. But this is where God chose to be born so that he could make it clear to people that, look, I'm not like that. All right? I don't carry myself like that. Now, all these other people, y'all might, but I don't carry myself that way. I'm humble. I'm meek. And I love children. Don't let nobody lie. I don't have no problem with children. I don't throw them in fires and do things to them. I love the children. I pray for the children. Sick people, I hate to see people sick. I hate death. Every time I walked up on death, I healed the person. Even people that were dead for 4 days, I raised them from the dead. Even people who did not even qualify. If they made a plea, the woman said to him, "Please heal my daughter." He said, "Look, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Well, she didn't turn around and say, "You know, I can't believe you call me no dog." She understood. She wanted her healing. And she understood the master had it. And she said, "Yeah, but it's true, master, that even the dogs get the crumbs from the table." And Jesus turned and said, "Man, I ain't found this kind of faith amongst the people." And gave her what she wanted. Another woman pressing through. I'm so filled with love and so filled with healing and so filled with power that there's a woman that's been had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she's saying to herself, "If I can just get up here and touch him, if I can just touch him, I'm going to be healed." And I'm not even paying attention. I'm walking around and she touches my garment. And because of the mercy of God, she don't die. Like in the Old Testament, when Uzziah grabbed that ark, when the ark was falling off the cart, he grabbed it and he died. He got smoted on the spot. And David was crying, saying, "I don't understand this." He was trying to do a good thing. And the God was like, "I understand, but he shouldn't have touched that ark. That's a holy thing. And when he touched that holy thing, it don't matter he doing a good thing, he a dead thing now." And the point is that what? God was trying to establish order and get people to understand. Y'all can't approach me. Not like I am. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down to your level. But I'm going to show you how I am on your level. On your level, I don't act like y'all do. I mean, I ain't walking around, you know, getting my briefcase. You know, I'm Jesus. Getting my thing right there. Do this here for me. In fact, God said, "Let me show you how I am." He took a towel and wrapped it around himself before he about to go die. And washed his disciples' feet. And then Peter was like, "You can't wash my feet." He said, "Peter, if I can't wash your feet, you don't have no part of me." Why? Because Peter was like, "Hold up, bro. I'm supposed to be an apostle. I'm going to be head of this thing. If Jesus washed my feet, that means I might have to wash somebody's feet." That's what was really going through his mind. That's why he said, "Oh, no, Lord, you can't wash me." The Lord said, "Well, if I can't wash your feet, you ain't got no part of me." He said, "Well, wash my head too." The Lord said, No. "Now, we ain't doing the body wash. Bottom line is, I'm going to do your feet. The rest of you are clean, Peter." He said, "But you got to understand, I'm showing you something." He says, "Later y'all going to understand this." This is why the Bible says everything in the world. Now, y'all be honest about this. If you could just get away from everything that you strive for, do you think you'd be happier? I mean, think about what most people are striving for. Some type of influence, some type of place to live, some type of something in the earth itself. And God says, "Look, y'all need to understand. This is why Paul said, you came into the world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. So learn to be content because God is with you. Once Jesus died, you got the greatest thing that ever could be given to people." If you understood this, then all of a sudden you would realize no matter how poor you are right now, all you got to do is get through this thing. Just get through. Make it through. Just make it through. Just like that woman was pushing through. She was pushing through and she touched him and she was healed. If you could be the poorest person on the planet, you might not get to live sumptuously and eat your steaks and do all the stuff all them people seem to be doing. But I tell you what, on the other side, Jesus already said, depending on this side, it's already hard for them people to get into heaven because they put so much reliance on the stuff they have. He said, you need to understand how hard it's going to be for the rich to get in. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a story about the rich man. He's dined sumptuously every day. And there was a man by his gate full of sores and the dogs had to lick him all day long. Can you imagine that being your life? Some of us complain about what we have. But we ain't by the gate begging with the dog licking our sores. That's pretty bad. But he died and ended up on the side with God. And the rich guy who ate sumptuously every day, dressed in his purple clothes, did all his good stuff, straight down into hell, the Bible say. And all of a sudden he was looking up, talking about, "My tongue is burning up in this flame." Folks, I ain't trying to go down there. God raised Jesus and God showed us who he is. So for people to say, I don't understand why a loving God would put people in hell. He don't. I don't understand why people ain't got enough sense to recognize a loving God. Why can't you see the difference? But God already says Satan blinds the eyes of people. But why can't you see the difference between Jesus and anything else, any other religion? What we preach is Christ rose from the dead. God says the wages of sin is death. How many people do you know that have come back? My daddy died. I thought he was a fairly decent fella. He ain't come back yet. My mama died. I thought she's a fairly decent person. She ain't come back yet. I'm sure there's some people y'all know who died that y'all think was pretty decent people. Have you seen them lately? No, because the wages of sin is death. You stay dead until God decides what's going to happen with you. The Bible says there's a resurrection of the dead, but what God said is, I'm going to make this good for y'all. You don't have to worry about Adam no more. You don't have to worry about how many prayers to pray to please me. You don't have to worry about pastor saying, go and do something else, and maybe God will be all right with you. Maybe you got to fast this many days or do that. You don't have to do none of that. All you have to do is put your confidence in what I have already done. Christ rose from the dead, and God says, I say, how can I trust Jesus? He said, I raised him from the dead. Well, how am I supposed to know? How do I know? Well, if we go back to 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read something. Every now and then I just be gone, forget scriptures I told them. I didn't tell them this, but I'm going to read this to you. I want you to hear this. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said this, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand. This is the good news. This is when we say gospel. That's all that means. The good news. Paul said, this is the good news that I preach to you, by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. Okay, there you go. Now watch this. He was seen of Cephas, Peter, then the 12 together. After that, he was seen of about 500 people, of whom the greater part remains right now, but some of them are dead. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last, he was seen of me. Nah, okay. If y'all went downtown right now today, somebody robbed somebody, and I say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I will be putting on 525 witnesses. Y'all be looking at me like, can't three do? Can't you find two or three people that we would have confidence in? Just put them up there. I don't need 520. 520? I don't want to be here all day, y'all would say. You would feel very comfortable convicting somebody and send them on to prison because three people, maybe five, said they saw them. And once you put them up there, who are you? My name is Roderick White. Can you tell us what you do? Oh, well, I this and this and I that and I'm this and now I done impressed y'all that I have no reason to lie on the person. I don't know I'm like that. I'm just a regular guy, but I have decent life. Matter of fact, I don't even want to be here today. But I'm here because they said on Crime Stoppers, somebody needs to stand up in this community and tell us what they saw. Okay, I saw him shoot the gun. Well, he looked just like that picture. Is this the guy? Yep, that's him. That's him sitting right there. And then 500 more people from the neighborhood get up. And then his lawyer gets up and says, Your Honor, we'd like to dismiss this case because we just don't think eyewitness testimony in this case is sufficient. And the jury, well, I'm going to deny that motion. I'm going to put it to the jury. I can imagine they go back to the box. They're like, why are we going back here? 500 people, and all 500 of them are like regular people. I'm talking about regular citizens. Now, regular people ain't don't know the person, ain't got no reason to lie, just whatever. Guilty. Would people be like, I can't believe they found him guilty? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. So here now we have testimony that there are over 500 plus people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. At the time this letter was written, the man writing it claimed that some of those people were still alive. Now, that'd be like me telling y'all, I was a professional boxer, and I've knocked out 25 people. You probably could figure that out. Matter of fact, some of them are alive today. Be like, Pastor, could you give us a few names? Well, you know, I'm good. But you don't believe me? But you don't believe me? Y'all don't think that somebody went looking for some of them people? Y'all don't think that when Paul said, look, some of the people still alive? You don't think that Paul is standing here telling you all this because you think this man just gave up all of his good things he had going on? I'm a Pharisee. I got it going on. I'm in the top of the class when it comes to Jews. My life is great. Matter of fact, I was running around killing Christians. And then all of a sudden, I just decided I want to get killed. I want to be a Christian. I'm running around killing Christians. I'm running around saying Christians need to die. I'm running around saying they don't get it right. And you know what? I had it all wrong. I just decided I want to be a Christian. I just want to make up a story about seeing Jesus. That's a good one. Matter of fact, probably when they get something like the printing press, many, many years from now, I'll have books with my name on it. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is let them torture me and cut my head off eventually so that eventually, many, many hundreds of years from now, people that I don't know and ain't never going to see can read a book with fake letters from me in there. Yeah, that'd be great. Because I'm not going to rise from the dead anyway. So instead of enjoying my life as a Pharisee, where I'm already doing well and I'm in the top of society and I got it going on, I'm a Pharisee, I got everything, I'm just going to give that up. No, he was convinced when he saw Jesus himself. Why do we tolerate these fools? And I ain't calling nobody no fool out there. I'm talking about fools that say there is no God. The Bible says it. I'm just calling what God called a fool a fool. God said, the fool have said in his heart there is no God. It makes sense to me. God would say, before I kill them all, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to give them a chance. How are you going to do it? I'm going to go myself. I'm going to send my own son. You go down there, son. You show them who we are. You present to them who we are. You let them see our love for man. Tell them who their real enemy is. It's Satan. Satan is the one who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Satan is the one who has a plan to try to get you in the lake of fire with him. Tell them, son. Make them understand. And then let them see the cruelty of Satan. What does he do? He take his disciples. It's his last time to eat, his last meal. He say, come on, y'all. Let's go pray. Them boys couldn't even stay awake an hour. Jesus come over there and Peter snoring. He said, Peter, could you watch with me an hour? You say you're my friend. I'm about to die. Can you pray? He said, don't worry about it. He went on back, Father, and went through all of that on his own. Came back, and he said, y'all just take your sleep for now. The Bible says that when these 600 people came to get him, 600. See, we keep talking about what the police do in the hood. Yeah, 40 police cars showed up. I've never seen that many in one house, but let's say there was 40. These people sent 600 police to get Jesus. 600 police showed up to get Jesus. And the Bible says that Peter was standing there because, you know, Peter was a bad man now. Peter pulled out that blade, hit that servant ear, it fell off. And Jesus said, stop. We don't fight like that. And he touched the servant's ear and healed it. And what happened? They all took off running. But the Bible tells us, Jesus said to them, who are you looking for? Now, y'all listen to the power of this man. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God is standing there looking at 600 people with lanterns and swords and everything else. And he says, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And all of them fell down. Boom. Now, that was a message to them. They got back up. He says, who are you looking for? You see, he was trying to make it clear. Don't mess with these boys, because I'm telling you, I'm not supposed to lose any except one. That's him. So y'all can't mess with them now. Who are you looking for? And they went on, took Jesus and let them go. He said, if you're looking for me, then let these go. He was making it clear. You touch one, it's about to be on out here. He already done said, who you looking for? And all 600 of them fell down. Right now, if I said that there while y'all here and all y'all fell up under the pew, y'all be like, what was that? And most people say, I wouldn't go back there. That's the devil up in that church. Might be. But we know something up in here. Especially if we can, interview some of y'all and y'all the kind that, say, look, I don't never fall down. I remember this lady once, we was over on the airline highway. My mama said to me, did you push that woman down? I said, mama, I just touched a woman. Touched a woman's head, the Bible went that way, this and that. She fell on the ground. My mama said, what are you doing? I said, mama, I don't know. I think Sherelle, you was there. But yeah, I don't even know what happened. I just was praying for her. And she was like from one of them churches where y'all don't go nowhere. They don't believe in nothing. They got to do nothing but what you read the Bible. That's it. God was like, look, I don't know what happened. All I know is this. When God get to doing stuff, you just got to let God do what he do. And the bottom line is that Jesus could have really done something there, but he decided, y'all, just stand back. Then God allowed them to take him away, handcuff him, and then God allows them to question him. Now, in the Bible, it already says, if God wanted counsel from you, he wouldn't take it. But he about to let you question him. He about to let you challenge him. He about to let you even slap him. God about to let you snatch his beard out of his face. God, can you imagine what the Father... Now, I already know some of y'all. See, but Chapman already had his gun out on him. If he'd have been up there snatching little Robert's beard out, slapping him upside the head, I'd have did the same thing. You got Joseph down there. Man, we ain't doing this. But God is sitting on his throne watching his son go through this abuse, knowing he could kill every last one of these people right now. But he knows his son is doing it because his son has submitted himself to the will of God. And he's saying, no matter what the pain, Father, I know the only way we're going to get these people out of here, the reason me and y'all get to live forever is because Jesus did it. See, he went through it, and by him going through it, we get to accept his gift. And that means, folks, I'm telling y'all, that means that every one of y'all, when you die, you don't stay dead. You just sleeping. And think about the joy of what we got. It don't matter I know we want to live long, and that's okay. But we can also say if we have Christ, we know we will live again. We know we continue to live. See, that's our testimony. That's what Jesus being raised from the dead means. See, if Christ be not risen, folks, this is why the Bible says our faith is in vain. But how does this faith come? I want you to pay attention to something on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32 through 33. I want to read something to you. This is what it says. If after the manner of men I have fought with them at Ephesus, what advantageth me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, let me tell you what that means. That ain't talking about table manners. Paul is saying, look, if I'm over here fighting, some say it could have been literally what he was talking about, beasts, like lions and stuff. And they say that some of these apostles at times where they would have lions loosed on them and they didn't, the lions didn't win. These are some of the stories they say. Because just like with Daniel, it wasn't their time yet. And so until it was their time, they said they dropped the Apostle John in oil and couldn't boil him to death. This is what they claim. You know, whether it's true or not, who knows? I could see how God, David killed a bear and a lion and all that. That could happen. A Samson did what he did. I don't know. But Paul says, even if not that, put that verse up there, verse 32. We know he's talking about beast of people then. Y'all know some beast? Hey, some of them on your job. If after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth me? Why am I sitting there debating with people if the dead don't rise? He said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But where did he get that? The next verse, look at what it says. Evil communication, be not deceived. He said, don't get tricked, y'all. I mean, look at the book full of stuff. Be not tricked. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, what does that verse actually mean? What it actually means is evil companionship corrupts good moral habits. So in other words, you're sitting around listening to all that stupid stuff and you letting all these people that don't know God up in your life and you letting them put all that stuff in your ear. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Evil companionship will corrupt your moral habits. Keep on watching some of that stuff you watching. Because they got some people, they so wide open right now that just the regular stuff seem okay now. Yeah, it seem all right to mess around on your wife. Yeah, if you could have people who got a marriage where it's open marriage. We have an open marriage. What that mean? Well, she dates who she want, I date who I want, and we do that, and we're appalled. I can't believe that. Well, at least my woman don't know, Lord don't know about it. Y'all will get that later. See, the more I entertain myself with all this wild living and wild thinking and wild stuff, it's easy for me to slip my foot into some of this that ain't as bad. Yeah, at least my wife don't know about my girlfriend. But you ain't supposed to have one, Pastor. Right, but that man there got two, and his wife, they live open. Right, but that's corrupt. And you can't hang out with that because don't get deceived now. Evil companionship will corrupt moral behavior. And if you don't cut yourself off from all of that you're listening to and you're watching, you will start accepting certain things. People starting to wonder why America look like it do right now. Because so many people started saying, look, you do what you do and let me do what I do. What you do in your bedroom ain't got nothing to do with me. Okay, you're right. And now it's out of everybody's bedroom and it's all up in the TV and everywhere else. Because we all took the position, not all y'all, a lot of people took the position. It ain't my business what people do. Well, it's God's business. At least, can we at least make it God's business? All right, so in other words, if I got a girlfriend, I can sit there and tell y'all, look, that's between me and Sister Lori. If she all right with me having a girlfriend, then y'all, what y'all got to do with that? And you say, Pastor, that ain't right. Look, what we do is our business. You here for one thing, that's to get the word. Is that nuts? Yeah, you're here to get the word. You ain't here to be talking about what me and my wife doing. Really? Well, come on, Pastor. How you separate those? Come on. You know, you can't, but don't. Evil companionship corrupts good moral behavior. And we need to understand it. We need to understand when God, Jesus died so that we could be justified before God. So we have the blood of Jesus now that what? Cleanses us from our sin. Now God says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Let my Spirit empower you that you might live right. Now, Pastor, well, I know you looking over there at that girl, but I'm going to need you to understand you are no longer a servant of sin. Stop saying I can't help myself. Oh, you can help yourself if you want to help yourself. What you're going to need to do is call on the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to do what you need to do. Stop saying, I can't help myself. I can help myself. Jesus died to free me. The Bible says I got freed from the law and the power of sin. Now, it might take faith, you say. Absolutely. But the reality is I can't sit here and believe that somehow God's going to say Jesus rose from the dead so I can just hang out and do what I want to do. Absolutely not. And if I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, think about this, y'all. Come on now, think about it for us. We have no alternatives. Jesus rose from the dead. If this is true, that means that Jesus Christ right now is in heaven. If Jesus Christ is in heaven right now, then it don't matter about nobody else who came before or after Jesus. That it don't matter who they are, what they are, what they said, how they said it, and when they said it. None of that matters because Jesus is the only one that God accepted and raised him from the dead and said it was his life that I accept on your behalf. So now I can't put nothing up. I can't give God good moral thoughts, good behavior, good this. No, I got to give him the gospel as he gave it to me. What does Romans 10, 6 through 17 says this? We're going to get over there. Romans 10, 6. This is what it says. Now these things, oh, I'm sorry. In the wrong chapter. Romans chapter 10. Let me get over here. Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart. See, God telling you, don't say that. Who going to bring ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. In other words, let's go up there and get him, since you claim he up there. Oh, God. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring him up from the dead again. Well, maybe we go and see, is he dead? But what saith it? The word is near you. God said, this how you get this. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the vast gospel. Look at what he says next. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Put the next verse. For the scripture says, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. Folks, see, we don't have no choice. I can't believe on nothing else. God is saying there is only one way that your righteousness will be established. Your sins will be put away, provided. Don't talk about coming up here and getting Jesus. Don't talk about going down there. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for your justification, you shall be saved. And then he tells us, don't let nobody lie to you. This for everybody. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So don't let nobody lie to you. Put that scripture back for a minute. Don't let nobody lie to you. See what that does say? For there is no difference. Don't let nobody lie to you. Yeah, y'all, people run around talking about, you know, did you get your shama to pray in? My what? Your shama. You know, it's one of these Jewish robes you can put on and pray. Put it over your head and count your things while you're praying to the God of Abraham. Really? You think wrapping your head in a shama or whatever else you want to call it don't make any difference to God? Come on now. God, like, look, I wouldn't care if you wrapped your head up in a yarmulke and carry one of menorahs around with you all day long. Did you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Did you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Other than that, you can't get saved. That's the only way we do this. I can't bring all that up under the tent now. We got to understand there's only one way we're getting in. And Jesus, this is consistent throughout the scripture. Jesus said, there is only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You got to come through me, Jesus said. Well, there it is right there. And then look what he says. There's no difference. God's like, don't worry about the Jewish people. I'm going to handle that part. But there ain't no difference between y'all and them. All y'all run around, not y'all, but people out there, they ain't the chosen people. Man, forget all that. Who care about that? God done already said, there ain't no difference between them and us. Bottom line is that God is rich in mercy toward everybody. Everybody that calls on him, he's merciful to them. He says, how you think Abraham called on me? Abraham called on me before he ever got circumcised. Do you understand that? Although the Jews are circumcised and there was an uncircumcision, he said Abraham believed God while he was yet uncircumcised. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And the Bible says Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Then God told him, get circumcised as a sign of the promise that I have to you, wherein we are baptized. God says, you now believe in Christ, get baptized. That's your symbol, your sign of circumcision before God, that you have what? Put aside your fleshly life. You have died with Christ when we buried you under the water, just like Noah's ark in the flood. And now you come up to live what? Newness of life. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but what it means is you know now you can't be tipping around. You know now you can't be doing everything wrong. You know now that when you do, this is why the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot sin. It don't mean you cannot physically. It means you can't live in sin. Ain't no way you can have the Spirit of God and you committing sin all the time and it don't bother you. If it do, you ain't saved. You ain't saved, you ain't saved, you ain't saved. There ain't no way you could be saved and you just going on with sin and it don't bother you. You ain't saved, you're not saved, you can't be saved. When you're saved, you can't help yourself. You cry when you do stuff wrong. And God's like, look, I forgive you. The devil the one messing with you. He be messing with you, boy. He be like, yeah, look at you. Oh, you done committed the unpardonable sin? Nah. Oh, you ain't never going to heaven. Oh, Jesus can't do nothing for you. Nah. When Jesus the one told you, if somebody sins against you 7 times in the same day, you being a man supposed to turn around and forgive them. How about God? God ain't, but Paul said, so what you saying? We can continue in sin so grace can abound? Paul said, God forbid, I ain't saying that. He said, but what I am telling you is, do not allow the devil to take you down when you fall. When you fall, get up, brush yourself off, and say, thank you, God, that you still love me. I know Jesus rose from the dead for me, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. I may not be perfect, but I got a perfect God. I got a God that stands because you raised him from the dead, and by raising him from the dead, you justified me. See, my righteousness is not about me. There's a lot of stuff I could tell y'all that are pretty good about me. Give you my resume. You'd be impressed, I hope. But there's a lot of stuff I leave off. Because I don't want nobody to know about that. Because if I told them, they'd be like, what? You did that? And most of the time, it's God's grace that just covers my life. Because sometimes I be saying stuff I say in church. And then I turn around and I say it to somebody and say, really? I didn't know that about you. I said, man, I preached that from the pulpit. I ain't hear that. Well, thank the Lord, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. But you know, when it's God, and you share because you're trying to help people, God ain't going to let nobody get off. And if they do, you too holy for me. Yeah, you're too holy for me. I can't go to church with you no way if you like that. If you ain't got nothing to happen in your life that ain't on your resume, you in the wrong church. Yeah, you in the wrong church because in this church, we all understand. We all got problems. We all had problems. And even if we might be a little better today, we better than we was. And although we might be a little better than somebody else, we know our God is 6 foot. And if you 5'11", 7/8", you fail. I don't care you grew your hair tall enough to be 6 foot. You got to be 6 foot even. And God said nobody is 6 foot. He said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ain't none of y'all David. And if you was, you'd be a murderer and adulterer. So you know what? We the church of those who understand. Paul said, I mean, I go to these churches, people like trying to get me to understand. I said, you know what? I don't care no more. I was reading the Bible. It said in one place, God said, do you think I chose you? This is what he told the Israelites now. You think I chose you because y'all were the greatest people? God said, I chose y'all because y'all was the fewest. But think about that. We live our lives concerned that our house is small, my car is small, my bank account is small, my life is small. I want to be big, we say. I want to be a big baller, shot caller. I want to be somebody. And God's like, look, y'all got me confused. I did not choose the Israelites because they were shot callers. I didn't choose the Israelites because they were sitting on thrones. I didn't choose the Israelites because they had all the gold. I didn't choose the Israelites because they had all the wealth. I didn't choose the Israelites because they was the smartest people. I chose the Israelites because they was the fewest, the dumbest. Now they finna get me now. And when it was over, I pulled them out. Why? Because I want everybody to know I'm God. And then I set them up on throne. I made these people powerful. Look, today they still causing the whole earth trouble. Just that little country. Everybody talk about Jews all the time. God said that because I don't choose people based on your power in the earth. I choose you based on me setting my affection on you. I decide that I want. See, stop trying to compete up in the devil's game. You know, yeah. Stop sending your children to them schools. Now, but the Bible says, look, if God said he would give us strength, he would renew us like the eagle. That's what he said. He'd renew all you like the eagle. And some of us, it's like we go into duck school. Now God's trying to send you to eagle school. And we won't go to duck school. We all walking around, quack, quack. All walking around, quack, quack. Following each other, quack, 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 quack. All following each other, quack, 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 quack. I want to be like the world, quack, quack. So I can grow, I can be big, I can everything. And God's like, look, I'm trying to send you to eagle school. Eagles tend to fly all by themselves most of the time. Eagles, but you know what? They know how to deal with each other, and they understand and respect one another's boundaries. God said, I'm going to renew your youth like the eagle. I'm going to get you to lift up when all the adversities start. You're just going to float on it. You're just going to float on it. You know, they be trying to take you down, talking about canceling your life. They can't cancel your life. Don't you understand? Your life is in the hands of God. You just keep floating and keep floating, and then when they say, I'm going to cut you off, you say, you can't cut me off. Don't you understand? You never had me tied on to start. I got God. I'm with God. I'm just doing my thing, watching what's happening. While what? Knowing that God is coming back. He has done what he's going to do when he raised Jesus from the dead. That was his. That's all I needed to know. Now, as a lawyer, y'all, I'm telling you, 500 people, that's way more than enough for me. I'm convinced. So if Jesus is in heaven, why do I care about what's going on down here? Why would I care about what anybody down here is doing if God truly is who he declares himself to be? Boy, Sister Lori is so funny. There's a scripture that she said, you know, I never saw it like that. I never saw this part. She said, people always quote the other part of scripture. Go on, find it, Sister Lori, and become look like her favorite scripture now. And now, folks, if y'all see this scripture, it not only is it funny and comical, but the reality is, think about what God is saying. If this is really true, you're supposed to be walking around with your head up. I don't care if it's just one of you. You by yourself. I'm by myself. I ain't got no money in my bank account. My life just don't seem right. Ain't nothing. I'll be focusing on. Sister Lord, can you find it for me? Put that scripture up there. And then I'm going to go to something else. Look right there. Look what God said. Y'all read that out loud. Go ahead, read out loud. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Most times people quote that. We love our God, for the world is his and the fullness thereof. Right, and he also said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell y'all. That's why he's telling you about the world. He's telling you about the world because he wants you to understand something. When I need something, I get what I want. When I want, when I'm ready. Now, you tell me any of y'all that's parents. The only reason your children don't get something is either you can't afford to get it or you done made up your mind they don't need it. Because when the children start speaking, the parents typically will respond to them. They ain't got no problem with trying to get their kids stuff unless they think the kid don't need it or they can't afford it. And usually if we can't afford it, I've seen people do all kind of stuff to get stuff for their children when they can't afford it. Some people working 2-3 jobs to send their kid to private school because they don't want them in public school or whatever. They doing anything they can to take care of their kid. Oh, but not God. No, God ain't going to do nothing. God, even though Jesus told us, God ain't like that. Jesus said, if your heavenly father, if y'all being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much does your heavenly father know how to give good things to you? So when you ask him and the devil tries to block it and then he starts getting up in your head about faith, you're supposed to start saying like Sister April said this morning, the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, if God says delay or no, well, I'm good with it because he's my father and he can see beyond where I can see. But other than that, until he show me, I'm pushing for what he said was mine. If I'm sick, I'm going to push to get well. I'm going to push as hard as I can to get well. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep knowing because he already showed me his grace while he was here. He showed me how he feels about sickness. He hates it. He doesn't like it. Why do people get sick? Because we're on a sickening planet, a planet that makes people sick. Fine, but we serve a God who can heal us. So we keep pushing and pushing. Why? Because if he was hungry, he sure wouldn't tell us. So you know what? If God can do that kind of stuff, God, look, the world is yours and the fullness thereof. If you was hungry, you wouldn't tell him. And I'm sure you don't need to tell him that I need healing. So give me mine, what's mine, God. God ain't got a check with you to decide what he's going to do for me. You can all walk around and don't believe nothing. I'm going to believe God. That's what you got to say. You look at everybody and say, I don't care what y'all believe about nothing. I know what Jesus said, and I'm not about to change it. They say, well, you know, King James wrote that Bible, and he was a homosexual. I said, well, King James forgot to scratch off the page that said you're going to hell for that. Well, he did. That's what he put in the book. I don't know what to say. Pastor, you can't be talking about that. You're going to cancel me? Yeah, we're going to take, we're going to cancel all 135 of your subscribers on YouTube. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. God didn't choose me because I was the biggest. God didn't choose me to speak because I got a million people following me. God said, speak, boy. You know why? Because you're crazy enough to say it. Just say it. Preach the truth. That's the only thing going to pull us out. If you don't come out of here, let me show y'all something. I promise I'm going to get ready to close. Look, go to Isaiah chapter 22. See what Paul said about that, about eat and drink for tomorrow we die? Let me show you where he got that from. Go to Isaiah 22. We're going to look at some verses. Isaiah, woo, glory to God. Isaiah 22. Let's look at verse 12. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die. Do you see what God said? Paul, let me tell you what happened. Isaiah, and I'm going to give you this right quick, and then I'm going to close. Isaiah said this. This is what happens in these verses. And I'm going to just give you this, and I'm going to tell you about this part here. In these verses from verse 1 to 25, Isaiah basically speaks a word that has five parts to it. First thing he does is he talks about Jerusalem's blind-like partying they got going on, while God is telling them, I'm about to destroy y'all. Then he talks about how their vision they got for their city, how they're defeated, that God sees it as a failed place. Then Isaiah comes and indicts them for having misplaced confidence in their defenses instead of the Lord. They really believe they can defend themselves. Listen to what this sounds like. Y'all know where y'all live, right? Now listen to this. Just listen to this now. Isaiah is talking to these people. And he says, y'all partying when God is telling y'all, I got a problem, you need to repent. If not, some bad stuff gonna happen. Isaiah says, you think your city got it going on, but it's a failed place. Isaiah indicts them next by saying, you have misplaced confidence. You think you can take care of yourself, but I am going to get you. Isaiah then indicts them for all of their merrymaking instead of repenting. And then finally, he confirms that this last apostasy just seals their doom. Yeah, he says, Paul, that's why Paul said, if Christ had raised, we should just eat and drink for tomorrow we die. But he pulled it from here. He said, I'm not doing that. Y'all can, because when Jerusalem did that, oh, they died. Oh, they died for real. But God took them out. He said, because when God came down, like Jesus did, died on the cross, come on, y'all, how much love can God show you? How can you, people say, well, I ain't heard it. Oh, let's go back to Romans. I ain't heard it. They say, I ain't heard it. Oh, Lord, let's go back to Romans where we were. Romans chapter 10, go back there right quick. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, because we said whoever will call on the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Remember what we said? You believe and you call on him and he'll save you, right? Well, how can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? Next verse. And how should they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Next verse. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? See, in other words, we come with the report. Next, you can go ahead and put the next verse up. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Think about it. God says, I died. Paul said, 500 plus people saw me, plus him. He wrote letters. The church has been there for 2,000 years. It's constantly preaching, come to God, come to Christ. In every generation, come to Christ. People live, they die, they live, they die. Come to Christ. God still is going. It's 2,000 years since he died. And instead of people saying, God is so gracious, God is so merciful, God is so loving that he took so long, he ain't come back yet. Instead, they say he don't exist. They say he's not coming back. If he had really ever risen, he'd have come back. Instead of saying, what a loving God we serve. Well, we don't know about him. You're a lie. Because I preach him. We preach him. Everybody preaches him. But you refuse to believe. You say, well, y'all too over-inclusive. You need to be more inclusive of other people. We can't. We preach Christ. He's the only way to God. We don't believe that. I know you don't. And God says you keep eating and drinking and partying, and eventually the end will come. And when it comes, see, in every generation, people keep saying things like this. Oh, well, you know. The world ain't ended yet. They always got somebody on the corner talking about the world will come to an end. The world coming to an end. Well, I tell you what, people who lived in 1900, their world came to an end. Sister Perry, did their world come to an end? It sure did. The people that lived in 1800, their world came to an end. The people who lived in 1600, their world come to an end. The people who lived in 100, their world come to an end. And so will your world come to an end. Even if the world don't come to an end before you end, your world coming to an end. And you got to be assured to say to yourself, when I close my eyes, I know exactly what's going to happen. Now you tell me how you able to know that. See, I'm going to book my book. I'm going to bank my stuff on saying, God, you had a lying man down here lying, talking about 500 plus people saw it. He gave up his life. He did all this stuff. And you let me believe this lie? I just can't believe it. I cannot accept the fact that Jesus, look at what happened to Jesus. Go throughout history and find me a man. Just find me one. That this is the story about him, and people end up beating him, killing him, and we say the reason he was beaten and killed was for us. I'm going to throw myself at the altar of God and say, God, if I'm wrong, I'm so sorry. But is he your son or not? Because if he is, I'm going to grab his feet, and I'm going to say, Jesus, you got to help me, I thought. And what are you going to say? I lied when I showed up. Everything about me was wrong. Come on, y'all. I did. Now, don't y'all think by now God would have let y'all know. They say, well, he did. How? How? Look at the church. The church is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said the kingdom of God would grow. The devil going to plant his seeds and stuff. It's going to keep going. He said we're going to get toward the end, and people going to say he ain't coming back, just like happening. And then the end will come. And Jesus said, when I come, this is what's going to be happening. Just like Sodom, They're going to be eating. No, like Noah's Ark. They're going to be eating, drinking, partying. Look at yesterday. I'm around here somewhere. And don't worry about it because they're shooting in Prairieville too. So don't say you ain't coming back. But I was sitting in my office and I know I heard pop, pop, pop. I was like, Jesus, what is going on? Eating, drinking, partying, and shooting. And then tomorrow, we die. All this is going on. People living like God ain't never going to come back. Think about the people whose life is just, is gone. Young man from Zachary, and I'm going to close, I promise y'all. 17 years old, on his way to college, about to graduate, coming down the interstate, on his way back to, I think, swimming practice or something, and hit the guardrail on I-10, 110. They said that boy was trying to get out of that car. People saw him trying to get out, y'all. And then the car exploded. So he died struggling to try to what? To save his life. And it's over now. For us, we move on with life. We keep going. We read it in the paper. But I'm sure his parents are probably grieving. But there's nothing we can do to bring each other back once we're gone. Now is the time. Is the acceptable time to pray. Now is the time to accept Christ. Now is the time to know that God is for you and not against you. Now is the time to know that in all things, no matter what, God can deliver you and save your soul and keep your life in peace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we just thank you today for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for the opportunity just to come into your presence again. I thank you for your people that are here today, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you would help us to have continuously a glorious life in Christ. That, Father, you would allow us to see that no matter where we are right now on the pole of life, whether our wealth is where we would like it to be or our lives or our relationships, let us first focus on that which means the most, and that is relationship with you. Father, the Bible says we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our minds, and our soul. And Father, that is what we choose to do today. Thank you again for the resurrection of Christ and for the witness that you have given to us. Thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice that has committed their life to Christ. That Father, we know they are in your care. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, God bless you all. And thank you again for being here today. Y'all have a wonderful week. Look, we have a prayer request.